All right, what's up, Grace City Church? I hope you're having a great week and a great weekend so far. I want to thank you for tuning in with us this morning for a time of worship and prayer and Bible study. I trust that many of you are gathered together right now in your house churches, and I hope that that time together is an encouragement to you and a blessing to you. For those of you who are visiting with us or watching online, just a little bit about our church. I am Pastor Tommy of Grace City Church. Grace City Church is what we call a house church collective. And what that means is that the majority of the month, our church members gather together in five different house churches located throughout West Georgia. And we do that because we believe at Grace City Church that spiritual growth happens best within the context of deep relationships. And so we gather together in homes each and every week and really grow in our relationship with one another as we grow in our relationship with the Lord. Now, once a month, we gather together, the first Sunday of each month, we gather together in our church facilities for what we call our all-church gathering. And so our all church gathering is next week. I'm excited about it. I'm always excited when we can all come together and worship and seek after God together. But it's next Sunday, October 3rd at 10:30 a.m. Now, if you want to visit with us, this is a great opportunity for you to visit with us, get to know us, because I realize how intimidating it could be to go to someone's house for the first time. So next Sunday, October 3rd at 10:30 a.m., we have our all church gathering at our church facilities in Temple, Georgia. So we want to invite you out for that time together. Speaking of our all church gathering, Rachel Collier, who has been our children's director for a long time, she is trying to start a nursery for that time on Sunday mornings. Now, we love to have the kids in there, but I've heard from several mothers of really small children that it would help them to be able to send their kids to a nursery. And so Rachel Collier is trying to start a nursery for our all church gatherings on the first Sunday of each month, and she's looking for volunteers. And so if you haven't told Rachel that you will volunteer already, I want to encourage you to do so. We could use your help in doing that. But again, our all church gathering is next Sunday, October 3rd at 10:30 a.m. And if you're wanting to visit with us, we want to invite you to do so during that time. If you have any additional questions or you want to check out one of our house churches, all you have to do is contact me, Pastor Tommy. You can DM me on Facebook or you can email me at my email address, tadams18, that's tadams18 at gmail.com, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have. Also, you can check out our website at gracecitytemple.com, and we have all kinds of information about our church on there. So today, we are starting a brand new series called Disciple, and I'm excited about that. But before we jump in this morning, I want us to pray and seek after God together and ask Him to bless our time together this morning. So would you pray with me? Let's pray. Father God, we just thank You, Lord. God, we thank You for who You are. God, You created the heavens and the earth. God, You formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. God, You are almighty. You are all-knowing. You are holy, holy, holy. There is none like You. God, Your word tells us that You dwell in unapproachable light. God, You are sovereign over all things. You hold all things in Your hands. And yet Your word tells us that You love us. God, that You patiently pursue us. God, that You offer us grace and mercy. God, we thank You for Your love and Your grace and Your mercy. We thank You, Father, that when we were sinners, when we were rebelling and committing treason against You and Your kingdom, God, You sent Your one and only Son, Jesus, to pay the penalty for our sins on the cross at Calvary. God, so that through Him we might be made right with You. God, that we might be called Your children. God, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your mercy. God, we thank You that you desire to be with us and for us to be in Your presence. God, we thank You that You long to speak to us and for us to hear Your voice. God, that You want to hear from us as well. God, I pray this morning that as we gather together and as we dive into your word and talk about what it is that you're calling us to be, God, that you would speak very clearly to us. God, that you encourage us, challenge us. God, call us to be set apart as you do in your word. God, there's so many of us under the sound of my voice right now that need you. God, there's so many people that I know in our church and outside of our church that are going through such a rough season. And they just need to know that you care and that you love them and that you're there with them. God, they need peace and comfort. God, they need strength in tough times. God, I pray for those people right now. God, that you will pour out your spirit upon them, that they might know in this moment that you are with them, that you haven't left them, you haven't forsaken them. God, I pray that for our whole church and all those that are watching, God, that you would pour out your spirit upon us, God, that in all that we say and do, we might bear witness to your son, Jesus. God, for those who don't know you who are watching right now, I pray right now that you would draw them unto yourself. God, that they would place their faith and trust in your son, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. God, have your way with us this morning. We need you. We are desperate for you. But I pray that we glorify and honor you in all that we say and do this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. All right, so here's what I want us to do today. I want us to just spend a few minutes together, and I want to give an introduction into what we're going to be looking at for the next several weeks. We're going to be starting this series called Disciple. And I want to start off with a passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 28. Now, if you've been in church any amount of time, you're no doubt familiar with the passage that I'm about to read. But I want to use this passage really as a springboard to start the discussion that we're going to be having for the next several weeks. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to start in verse 18. It should be on the screen below. Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 18. This is what Jesus says to his disciples. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or obey all that I have commanded. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, Jesus saved me when I was 19 years old. I remember I was a freshman in college when I really heard the gospel for the first time. The good news that God loved me. And he loved me so much, in fact, that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die on a cross to pay the penalty for my sin and my rebellion against him. And that through Jesus, God was offering me new life. He was offering me abundant and eternal life. That through Jesus, God was inviting me to a life of divine meaning and purpose as his child. And as a freshman in college, when I heard the gospel for the first time, and God's Spirit drew me to himself, I jumped in with both feet, and I really have never looked back. As a matter of fact, I've been following Jesus now for almost 3 decades, and I can't imagine my life being any different. Now, when I came to faith in Christ, it was the 1990s, which I know I'm dating myself, but it was the 1990s. And in the 90s, there was this kind of bizarre Christian subculture thing happening in the United States. Every Christian was wearing a WWJD bracelet, you know, what would Jesus do bracelet, to remind them of what Jesus would do in certain situations. A lot of people had these Jesus fish emblems on the backs of their cars. I actually remember one time as a young youth pastor getting flicked off by someone who had a Jesus fish emblem on the back of their vehicle. As a matter of fact, I had just preached a funeral service and was leaving the funeral home when this person cut me off and then basically told me I was number one. And I distinctly remember seeing that Jesus fish on the back of the car, and it just made me so angry. But everyone had those, right? The Left Behind book series was becoming popular. I remember walking into people's houses who weren't Christians and seeing Left Behind books in their house. Christian bands were getting airtime on secular radio stations during this time. And really, Jesus was just becoming, you know, for lack of a better term, everyone's homeboy. Jesus was trendy, right? Mega churches were springing up everywhere. Pastors were gaining celebrity status at a rate which no one had seen before. But here's the thing, like most trends, a lot of those things, they just slowly faded away. And part of it was that it was just that. It was a trend. But I believe, for the most part, we have reduced Jesus and Christianity to a series of slogans and mantras. Now, here's the thing about slogans and mantras, is they can make you feel good about yourself. But slogans and mantras really are of no help to you when you're facing some of life's darkest moments. And when we reduce Jesus to an easy slogan or a mantra, what we do is we make Christianity all about easy believism and consumerism, where we're the customer, right? All we have to do is go forward, say a prayer, get dunked in some water, and then we reap all of the benefits of what Jesus is offering us, right? So we essentially become a consumer, right? And if you're a customer, the customer's always right. It's all about your needs, right, and what you want. It's all about your convenience and your comfortability, right? And so we kind of reduced Jesus and Christianity to that, easy believism and consumerism. We wanted all of the reward, everything that Jesus was offering, without any of the risk and any of the commitment. We have made converts and not disciples. Now, there's a difference between a convert and a disciple, and I want to talk about that just a little bit today. I recently read an article in Relevant Magazine by a pastor named Tyler Edwards, and he talks about the difference between being a convert and being a disciple. And this is what he says. He says, many people come to Jesus thinking it is enough to believe, to stand on the sidelines and root for him. Jesus isn't looking for cheerleaders. He is seeking men and women who will follow him whatever the cost. He is looking for radical devotion, unreasonable commitment, and undivided dedication. I want to say that again, church. I want you to listen to that. He is seeking men and women who will follow him whatever the cost. He is looking for radical devotion, unreasonable commitment, and undivided dedication. Jesus isn't looking for converts. He is looking for disciples. Converts are new believers. We all start as converts. Too often, we stop there. We make Christianity all about what we believe. Converts aren't bad or wrong. They're like babies. There's nothing wrong with being a baby. The problem comes when that doesn't change. When a baby acts like a baby, it's cute. When a 35-year-old does, it's sad. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. So with that being said, I want to take just a few weeks, and I want us to really dive deep and talk about what it really looks like to be a disciple of Jesus, because that's the call, right? It's right there in Matthew chapter 28. Jesus says that we are to do what? Make converts? No, he says we are to make disciples, that we are to baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, to teach others to obey all that he has commanded. I want to say this really quickly, church, and you've heard me say this. If you've been a part of our church, you've heard me say this over the last couple of years. It's not enough for us to just believe. It's not enough for us to even just say that we believe, right? Because for most of us, that's where it stops, right? We were in a church service and somebody invited us forward. You know, something was happening in our heart. We came forward. We repeated a prayer after someone. Maybe we got dunked in some water and we believed that all of our sins are washed away. And now we are going to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. And can I just say, it's not enough to just say that you believe. In James chapter 2, verse 19, James says that even the demons believe and they tremble. Even the demons believe and they tremble. In other words, listen, it's not enough to just say that you believe something. It's going to be evident by how you live your life. It's going to be evident by how you live your life. So listen, we're not placing our faith when we come to faith in Jesus. We're not just believing in a set of ideals or principles. We are placing our trust in a person, the person of Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. And we give our lives fully to him. And you've heard me say this, but this is the problem. The problem is that many of us, we've just made Jesus a part of our lives. I've said that so many times, but I believe when I look around me, that's what I see among many people who call themselves followers of Jesus or Christians, is that they've made Jesus just a part of their lives, right? So they have all these other things going on, and Jesus is just a part of what they have going on, right? And so, sure, we'll commit ourselves to Him if it's convenient for us, or if it's comfortable for us, right? But we have all this other stuff going on, and He's just one of those additions to the things that we have going on. The problem is that many of us have made Jesus a part of our life when Jesus is to be our lives, right? Again, what Pastor Tyler Edwards says, that he's seeking men and women who will follow him, whatever the cost. He's looking for radical devotion, unreasonable commitment, undivided dedication. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for people who would chase after him, because not just because they believed something about him, but because they trust where he's leading them. Do you understand that? So here are some primary differences between converts and disciples. Converts are believers who live like the world. Disciples are believers who live like Jesus. Converts are focused on their values, interests, worries, fears, priorities, and lifestyles. Disciples are focused on Jesus. Converts go to church. Disciples are the church. Converts hear about the mission of Jesus and think it's for someone else. Disciples are wholeheartedly committed to it. Converts are all about believing. Disciples are about being. Converts watch. Disciples do. Converts consume. Disciples sacrifice. Converts argue about their rights, while disciples are willing to lay down their rights for the sake of others. Converts are quick to share and debate their opinions. Disciples are quick to share the gospel and the love of Jesus with others. Converts talk. Disciples make more disciples. So listen, church, Jesus doesn't call us to merely be converts, or even to win converts. Jesus calls us to be fully devoted, fully formed disciples, and to make disciples. That's the call, right? Make disciples of all nations. Now listen, I don't want you to misunderstand me, because you could be watching this for the first time and you have yet to place your faith in Jesus, or you could be a brand new believer. So I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. It's absolutely true that Jesus offers us grace and love without condition. That word grace means undeserved favor. You did nothing to earn it. He paid the price on the cross for you, and His salvation is a free gift. So Jesus offers us grace and love without condition, but it doesn't come without expectation, and it doesn't come without commitment. Now, in trying to bypass discipleship, what we do is we cheapen the gospel. And we cheapen the grace that God is offering us through Jesus, as though we weren't bought with a great price. Now, too many think, doesn't it say that we can just come as we are? I mean, we sing that in churches, come as you are, come just as you are, right? The problem is too many of us think, come just as you are means that we can go on living however we like to live, that we don't have to give up sin, that we don't have to change, that we don't have to be transformed, that we don't have to die to ourselves. All we have to do is repeat a prayer and we're in. We've got our golden ticket to eternity, right? And when we do that, church, we miss the point entirely. In doing so, we cheapen the grace of God through the cross of Christ, and we misunderstand what it is that Jesus is actually calling us to. We not only misunderstand what Jesus is calling us to, but we deprive other people of the truth of what it is that He's calling us to. And in doing so, we're presenting an obstacle to them accessing a real transforming relationship with the Almighty God. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote in his book, The Cost of Discipleship. Now, The Cost of Discipleship is one of my favorite books. It's one of those books that really has shaped who I am. As a pastor, I read it for the first time as a youth pastor. And then I read it again in seminary, and I've revisited it several times since. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote in his book, The Cost of Discipleship. He says this about cheap grace and costly grace. He says, Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. Now that word repentance, we use it all the time in church, right? It literally means to turn around. So I want you to get this picture in your head. You're going down a very dangerous road. And at the end of this road, there is a bridge out and there is a raging river and it's deep down in this gully. And so if you continue along this path, you will no doubt fall off the end of this road and reach certain death, right? And so you're along this path, along this road, and Jesus is calling to you along this road for you to turn around. He's saying there's danger ahead. Turn around, come back to me, and then follow me upon the right path and I will lead you to safety. So that's a picture of repentance. Right? We're heading in the wrong direction, and that direction is dangerous, and it is destructive, and it leads to death. And Jesus is calling us to repent, to turn around, and to instead follow after him, because he's going to lead us to safety. You understand that, right? So what Dietrich Bonhoeffer is saying here is he's saying cheap grace, which we just talked about, is preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. It's saying just ask for forgiveness, but you can continue down that road, that destructive path, right? Cheap grace, in doing so, we cheapen grace. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. Baptism without church discipline. Communion without confession. Absolution without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship. Grace without the cross. Grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate. Costly grace, on the other hand, is the treasure hidden in the field. For the sake of it, a man will go and sell all that he has. It is the pearl of great price to buy, which the merchant will sell all his goods. It is the kingly rule of Christ, for whose sake a man will pluck out the eye which causes him to stumble. It is the call of Jesus Christ, at which the disciple leaves his nets and follows him. We cheapen grace when we don't make disciples. We cheapen grace when we think, I just have to pray a prayer and say that I believe, but I don't have to follow Jesus. And I don't have to grow. And I don't have to allow him to change my life and transform my life. We cheapen grace when we do that. And in doing so, listen, we don't become fully formed disciples. So when winds and waves and struggles and difficulties come in our life, our faith is shaken to the core because it wasn't built on a firm foundation. Do you understand that? So listen, Christianity, it isn't just an ideal or a principle to follow. It isn't just a system of belief. It even isn't simply a lifestyle. Right? We kind of say that, like Christianity is a lifestyle to be lived, but it isn't even really a lifestyle. It is a life transformed by Jesus. Because we have followed Jesus so closely that we begin to look like him and act like him and talk like him and love like him and sacrifice like him. Being a disciple is about fully committing ourselves to following after Jesus. It's about costly grace, realizing the cost, the price that Jesus paid for us, and giving our lives to him in return. Bonhoeffer would go on to say that when Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die. And we're going to get into that in the next few weeks. But I want to close with this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, the Apostle Paul, he says this, listen to this, "You are not your own. For you were bought with a price." You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. You were bought with a great price. You were purchased by the precious and costly blood of Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. And the life that you now live, Paul would say in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the life that you now live is not your own. You live by faith in Christ, following after him. So you are not your own, for you were bought with a price, and how great a price that was. So glorify God in your body, Paul says. In other words, honor God in such a way that others see God working in you and through you in all that you say and do. Honor God by looking more like Jesus. As we follow him, church, as we are being discipled by him, as we commit our lives to Him, as we grow in our relationship with Him, we should look more like Him. We should act more like Him. We should talk more like Him. We should love more like Him. And we should sacrifice more like Him. Listen, He didn't pay the price so that you could go and live however you want to live. He bought you so that you could live the life that He's calling you to. And what a great price He paid for us. And we are to give our lives to Him in return. That's what it looks like to be a disciple. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much for Your kindness, which leads us to repentance. God, we thank You that there is forgiveness and grace to be found at the foot of the cross. God, that on the cross, Jesus paid the penalty for our sins, past, present, and future. God, that we now walk in grace. That we are now free to be all that You have called us to be. So God, I pray right now that we would fully commit ourselves to You. God, that we would lay down our lives, and in doing so, we wouldn't lose our life, but we would find life, as Your word says. God, I pray for each and every person watching this video. God, that they wouldn't just believe and say that they believe in You, but they would trust You enough to follow where it is that You're leading. No matter the cost, no matter the commitment, no matter the risk. God, we just pray, Father, for our church. We pray for the churches around us, God, that God, we would no longer be consumers. God, that we would be fully devoted followers of Jesus, because this world doesn't need surface Christianity anymore. This world needs to see Jesus, the hope of nations. And I pray for those who are watching right now, God, that You would mold us and shape us into the image of Christ, so that when others talk to us and when others encounter us, they encounter Your Son Jesus and His love and His grace and His mercy. God, we thank You for inviting us, not just to be saved from death and damnation, God, but saving us to life, abundant and eternal. God, for calling us to be Your ambassadors and to be about the work of Your kingdom and making disciples of others. I pray that we would be obedient to Your calling. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Hey church, I love you so much. I hope this word has been challenging to you. I'm looking forward to the rest of the series where we can really dive in and see what it is that Jesus has called us to be. But I hope this encourages you. I hope it challenges you. I'm praying for you. I can't wait to see you next Sunday at 10:30 for our all church gathering. In the meantime, I'm praying for you. I can't wait to see you again. God bless.